Trappist monk Thomas Merton wrote, "Suddenly, there is a point when religion becomes laughable. Then you decide that you are nevertheless religious." My friend and colleague, Reverend Rob Hardies, adds, "People flock to religion not in spite of the fact that it's laughable, but precisely because of it. The reason people come to church on Easter is to look for hope. The church is the repository of human hope. The church is the place where we stash away those stories of hope for when we and the world need them most. As a religion, we have our roots in the Judeo-Christian Islamic traditions. We, too, are a people of the book. Yet we have expanded well beyond our Christian roots. Generally, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, it is of the teacher who tells us that we are all children of God and calls us to justice, not the man God who died on a cross and was resurrected 3 days later, thereby redeeming our sins. Yet Easter Sunday very often has the highest attendance of the year in many of our congregations. And sometimes I have to wonder exactly why. How is it that the holiest day on the Christian calendar is also apparently one of our holiest days as well? A part of this is tradition and heritage, and modified Easter can hunts after the service for children. But I think it also has to do with hope. The Easter story, which stands in a long line of celebrations at the springing of the year, the Easter story reminds us that rebirth and resurrection are always possible in human life, in human history. In spring, all the earth is indeed made new. It is a glory and a wonder, and it never, ever grows old. Resurrection is always possible, even in the direst of circumstances. Whence arises Easter? The name comes from the Germanic fertility goddess Estra. When the Estra-worshipping tribes became Christian, the goddess's spring celebration merged with the Christian celebrations of Jesus' death and resurrection. The date of what we now call Easter was set in the year 325, when the Roman Emperor Constantine called all the bishops together in Nicaea to settle many doctrinal issues in the still new Christian church. After a long and disputatious debate, the famed Council of Nicaea gave us the Trinity and the Nicene Creed, which affirmed it. Yet after getting through all the tough stuff, the bishops put their minds to setting the date for Easter. They landed on the first Sunday after the first full moon that falls on or just after the vernal equinox. It seems the difficulties of travel in ancient times led the bishops to schedule this holiest of Christian holidays at a time when a bright moon could assist a traveling pilgrim. Very practical of them, I'd say. But if it also sounds awfully pagan, well, that is no coincidence. The bishops were no dummies. They knew that to convert pagan communities to this new faith, they would need to integrate it into their lives. It's tempting to make the Catholic Church into a sinister group intentionally subverting pagan holidays. Yet why not place the archetypal story of this new religion, a story of rebirth and resurrection, at the time when people already celebrated rebirth and resurrection. What could make more sense? For humans have always celebrated an Easter of one sort of another, but of one name or another, and it has always been in the spring. That alone probably explains a higher attendance on Easter Sunday. Yet we will always have Easter because the human condition will also always need it. For we are always in need of hope. A tomb may be no place to stay, but we humans manage to create many tombs in our lives. In her book, Proverbs of Ashes, Rebecca Parker tells a story of rebirth and renewal, about a time she was so deep in the tomb that she saw no way out but to take her own life. She had ended a pregnancy in hope of saving a marriage, and in the end, she lost both. She writes, "Everything I most loved had slipped out of my hands. I felt there was nothing left to hold on to, not my marriage, not my child, not my faith. I spiraled into grief and self-directed anger. One night, I came to the end of my will to live. I just wanted the anguish to stop. It was a cold, clear night. I lived at the top of a hill above a lake, and sometime after midnight, I left my house and started walking down the hill. The water would be cold enough. I could walk into it, then swim, then let go, sink down into the darkness and go home to God. The thought was comforting. I had no second thoughts. I was set on my course." Yet when Rebecca got to the familiar lake, she saw what looked like a long line of oddly shaped sawhorses all along the shore. As she got closer, she saw a bunch of people all bundled up against the cold. "The stick shapes weren't sawhorses," she writes. "They were telescopes. It was the Seattle Astronomy Club." Before I could make my way through the line, one of them looked up from his eyeglass and, presuming me to be an astronomer, said with enthusiasm, "I've got it focused perfectly on Jupiter. Come take a look." I didn't want to be rude or give away my reason for being there, so I bent down and looked through the telescope. There was Jupiter, banded red and glowing. "Isn't it great?" he said. It was great. Jupiter was beautiful through the telescope. I couldn't kill myself in the presence of all these people who had gotten up in the middle of a cold night with their home-built Radio Shack telescopes to look at the planets and stars. The beauty of the night sky, the dew-wet grass at my feet, and the Seattle Astronomy Club kept me in this world. It would be wrong, Rebecca goes on, to think of this moment as one in which joy triumphed over despair, good came out of bad, or love of life defeated desire for death. I did not defeat negative feelings of anguish and despair because I saw something more lovely and good. My heart was still breaking with grief, but I became able to feel more. I was able to place that grief within a larger heart, within a wider embrace that could hold sorrow and joy, loss and illumination, death and life. Rebecca's story is a reminder that rebirth and resurrection are possible. Being alive and being human means that we have the capacity to experience wonder and delight, to view distant Jupiter through a telescope, Yet great sorrows also crowd our lives, crowd the world around us. When we lose hope in the face of those sorrows, we can fall into despair. We can enter the tomb of the soul. Easter is a powerful reminder that there are other realities. There are two sides to the Easter story, rebirth and resurrection. They are not simply two sides of the same coin. Rather, these two Easters are, says the Reverend Francis Manley, quote, grounded in at least two different realities, two different aspects of the human condition. We do tend to use the words as synonyms, but in truth, Manley says, they make very different promises to our spirits and to our souls. Rebirth is the spring side of Easter, the knowledge so deeply held in the human heart, indeed in our very DNA, that spring always follows winter. Whether it be the cold and snow and darkness of physical winter, or a winter of the soul. This is Easter as fertility celebration, the one that gives us Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. Its promise lies in the cyclings of the season, the cyclings of the seasons of the earth, and even in the unpredictable, yet consistent, unpredictably consistent cycles of the soul. As poet Langston Hughes says, it is the promise of the time of silver rain when earth puts forth new life again, green grasses grow and flowers lift their heads, spreading the wonder of life, of life. Spring comes even to the coldest winter of our hearts. No matter how bad it gets, no matter the grief or the pain in our aching bodies, no matter how desolate the heart, rebirth is inevitable. Life renews itself again and again, and we can take hope and comfort in knowing it. Resurrection, Manley says, is very different. It is something that happens once, a radical break in the natural order of things, leading always to transformation. It is not a waking from sleep, but a return from the dead. The story of Jesus' resurrection is a story of such a radical shift. It speaks metaphorically of the kind of transformation that is also possible in our lives. A tomb is no place to stay, and yet we do enter the tomb. Caves where it seems no light or hope will ever penetrate. Has something ever died inside of you? Have you ever hurt so badly you wished you could die? Perhaps it was a deeply personal pain or a despair at the state of the world. Yet have you ever felt sealed away in a tomb of circumstance, or perhaps even a tomb of your own making? The story of Easter tells us that the stone can roll away. It holds out hope that which has died can yet come to life again. Rebirth happens, whether we will it or no. Resurrection requires some agency. We can take steps toward resurrection. As the Reverend Scott Alexander tells us, no matter what particularly befalls, afflicts, limits, pains, or confounds you, practice resurrection. Make a judgment for life over death. Trust that Easter is true. trust that life remains a promise and a possibility. You are free this day, any day, to practice resurrection. Some would say that we need God to be resurrected. Rebecca, it seems, only needed the Seattle Astronomy Club. But who can really say that they were not God? I like the image of God as astronomy club far better than God the Father in a distant heaven. Yet, while there need be no divine intervention for the radical transformation that is resurrection, we do almost always need something more than just our individual selves. We need something larger than ourselves, be it community, or a devotion to a higher cause, or the larger heart Rebecca felt embraced by. The transformation of resurrection can feel so radical that some do call it the hand of God. Call it what you will. And let whatever that power is be possible. Rebirth is inevitable and resurrection is possible. Let your spirit soar with the rebirth of trees singing forth with new leaves this spring and Easter season. Enjoy the sunshine and the tulips and the sunflowers lifting their heads. And let resurrection be a possibility as well. Its promise is not that the stone will be rolled away, only that it can be. In these times, it can be hard, even laughable, to have hope. Have hope anyway. Let this Easter morn and beyond remind you that hope is never lost. Rebirth and resurrection are such powerful forces in a human life. They can and will happen. And this is really good news. Take it into your heart. Shine out in your living. Let your life shine and practice resurrection. Happy, happy Easter. Hallelujah.